Support for the Morning News comes from the Homer Foundation. Spring is a busy season for community grantmaking on the Southern Kenai Peninsula. Scholarship committees meet, city grants are awarded, and the Homer Foundation's Youth Advisory Committee reviews proposals and recommends funding for youth-focused programs. Information about community grants, scholarships, and the Homer Foundation is available at homerfoundation.org. The Homer Foundation. Give. Grow. Grant.
It's Tuesday, June 16th, 2026. I'm Simon Lopez with KBBI's Morning News. Seldovia's annual Summer Music Festival begins June 18th. Emily Springer spoke with some of the event coordinators, Susie Stranick and Margie McCord, about historical details, changes for this year, and other events coming up in Seldovia later this summer.
The Seldovia Summer Music Festival is a three-day event celebrating summer with live performances, artist-led workshops, open mic events, vendor booths, and bonfires that takes place in the heart of Seldovia on an old cannery dock. The event is organized and coordinated by the Seldovia Arts Council, part of the City of Seldovia. Council members Susie Stranick and Margie McCord talked with KBBI about the history of the festival and what it will offer this year. Both women have been residents of Seldovia for almost 50 years. 2026 marks the 25th anniversary of the event that has transformed quite a bit since it first started with a proposal by Susan Muma in 2001. At that time, Muma directed what was then called the Seldovia Folk Festival for the purpose of providing entertainment for the community, as well as an educational tool and networking vehicle for musicians from around the state, but not as much as a tourist attraction as it is now, according to the festival history composed by Muma. Now, the 11 members of the Arts Council each take on parts of festival features, such as transportation, food coordination, stage construction, audio management, and more. The festival now takes place at an outdoor venue on the waterfront of Seldovia, right where the state Testamina ferry dock. One of the major changes this year is the transition from a temporary stage to a permanent setup. McCord explains.
This was the site of one of the old canneries, and we still have the cement padding there from the old cannery. So we have a dance stage. We have that offset. And this new canopy that we have, it was donated to us 4 years ago. It is acoustically just beautiful. The sound is so much better. And we took apart this floating canopy on a stage. They came from Halibut Cove. Floating dock came in this year. It's been taken off its pontoons and made into all the wood was repurposed and made into a stage, a permanent stage on the cement. So it's right within the canopy, the clamshell, whatever you want to call it. And it even has a riser for the drum set, so it's going to be really awesome.
This year, there will be four headline bands: Tumble Down House, Dirty Cello, John Brothers Piano Company, and the Copper River Band. Also performing will be Sweet Pow, Hope Cassidy, Eclectic Acoustic, Vic and the Vapor Rubs, and Kendra Lee Highwater. More descriptive details and sound clips from all of the headline bands are available on the Music Festival website. Event tickets and all additional information is available there also. www.seldoviaartscouncil.org. Events begin on Thursday with musicians playing en route to Seldovia on the Alaska Marine Highway's Testamina Ferry. The main stage concert will begin at 5 p.m. On Saturday, there will be a coffee and song circle in the morning, workshops with the performers from noon to 4, and another main stage concert that will begin at 5. Specific details on what the workshops will offer is also available on the Seldovia Arts Council website. Workshops will include sound healing, a brass and woodwind clinic, singing with confidence, acoustic guitar construction, and songwriting. Stranick and McCord explained another new change.
The other big thing is that we just received a $5,000 grant from Homer Foundation to help with travel and to help give our non-headliners a bit of a stipend for the very first time. So we're really happy to be able to do that with the help of Homer Foundation.
In the past, we've only paid a performance fee for our headliners, and other bands, local bands, or bands that were in the area touring that had applied for our festival, we would pay their round trip across Kachemak Bay. We would house them for the 3 nights of the festival, and we feed them 2 meals, but that was it. But this year, we'll be able to give them a small stipend.
For those interested in attending the festival, Board members recommend camping opportunities at Outer Beach or the Seldovia RV Park. There are some Airbnbs available in Seldovia also. Travel is available by the State Ferry or the 45-minute Seldovia Bay Ferry, owned and operated by the Seldovia Village Tribe. Additional upcoming events this summer include Songs on the Slough in July and a Guitar Masters concert in August. Also in the first week of July is the Seldovia Drama Camp, a collaboration between Pier 1 Theater and the Seldovia Arts Council. Reporting from Homer, this is Emily Springer.
Planned Parenthood of Alaska is suing the state to expand access to abortion medication via telehealth. Under Alaska law, people seeking a medication-induced abortion must go in person to a clinic, which is usually limited to Anchorage or Fairbanks. The lawsuit was filed Thursday in Alaska Superior Court. Lead case attorney for Planned Parenthood, Dylan Cowitt, says restricting access to a medically induced abortion violates the Alaska right to privacy and the fundamental right to abortion.
Because it places a burden on their access to abortion. And the Alaska Supreme Court has made clear that when the state places a burden on abortion, they can only do so if there's a compelling reason to do it. And here, there's no reason, let alone a compelling one.
Alaska's constitution includes the right to privacy, and that's long been interpreted to guarantee access to abortion. In an email, Acting Attorney General Corey Mills declined to comment on the lawsuit. Dr. Colleen McNicholas is chief medical officer for the Planned Parenthood affiliate. She says medications are only an option for patients who have been pregnant fewer than 12 weeks. And she says in Alaska, the burden of travel to a clinic makes medication abortion too difficult to access.
Every week, in fact, we see folks who by the time they have made it to clinic to have their medication abortion, they have aged out of eligibility for that service and now have to sort of start the process all over again in trying to figure out, okay, medication abortion is no longer an option for me. So how am I going to get procedural abortion?
McNicholas says about a quarter of abortions nationwide are by medication. That's it for this morning's news. You are listening to KBBI AM 890 in Homer, 88.1 FM in Seward, through translator K201AO, and online at kbbi.org. This morning's newscast included a story from Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra. News tips and story ideas can be emailed to news at kbbi.org. Today on KBBI at 1 p.m. is Song and Dance with David Stutzer, at 5 p.m. Alaska News Nightly, and at 6 p.m. a live broadcast of the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly Meeting. On Thursday, tune in for history stories that will intrigue you on Story Borealis, the program dedicated to the art of oral storytelling with host Ingrid Nixon. That's Thursday at 11 a.m. here on KBBI. Listening, and good morning.